Some days are terrible, you wish that you were dead. And some days are magical, like great banana bread. Someday we'll be friends with the voices in our heads. The voices in our heads.
Hello, everybody. How you doing? Welcome to another episode of The Voices in Our Buttholes. I'm just kidding. It's heads. I had a lot of folks DMing me, which I do appreciate, about the nail polish color. No, this is Patrick. I was like, that's so weird. Like, who? And I was giving props to whoever came up with that. That was a SpongeBob reference.
I thought it was.
Really?
Last week when I heard it, I thought it was.
Didn't even dawn on me. Yeah. I just thought it was some guy, like it was just taken from the time a guy got the wrong number, you know. Uh-huh. But it's a SpongeBob reference. So I do appreciate getting corrected because I'm all up on my high horse, like, well, baby on board signs, we get it. And then someone's like, that's it for if you get into a car accident, the firefighters know to look for a baby. I'm like, sorry. We get stuff wrong, we get stuff right, and we will until the day we die. I cannot. Okay, there is a television show. There is a television show on Netflix. It's a limited series, so it's only 7 episodes. I think this is the best television that has ever been made. I have never been so fucking engrossed in a world of a television show, much like Baby Reindeer. This is an intense show. The guy who created it is also the star. He created it because all the experiences in the shows have happened to him. I'm not going to give away spoilers. I do want to talk about it in depth, but I want you to watch it first. There are themes of, stalking is one of the major themes. Sexual assault is a big one. And I got to say, they do give you a trigger warning for this one episode. I had to look away. I couldn't watch it. But I also was appreciative of the rawness and realness in which they depicted it. Corinne and I have been trying to get a TV show on air that deals with sexual assault. And we were always met with the note, that's too intense. And we're like, no, it's not. It happens. Come on. Is anybody working in TV not a pussy? There are people in Netflix that aren't pussies, because I was almost like proud of Netflix for allowing the creator to go as far as he did. It is impossible to sit down to watch an episode of Baby Reindeer and just watch one episode. It is so intense. I will say though, if you have been sexually assaulted, and I think triggers are good things, even though we associate them with bad things because we don't want to feel these feelings again. However, they're arrows. Triggers are arrows pointing to like, hey, let's work through this, right? There is a written trigger warning. I'm going to give you a verbal trigger warning for that too. I think it was like the 4th episode. It's intense. I was very triggered based off of just the emails I've gotten over the years about people's sexual assault from guys we fucked. Every facet of sexual assault is covered in it. I cannot believe the show. I cannot believe the show exists. I cannot believe this person who created this guy exists. I'm like, you are a king, sir. So that's all I'm going to say. Just watch Baby Reindeer. It's still sinking in. I watched the last 4 episodes last night and I'm still processing it. So I can't really give you much more than that because shit's still computing, okay? It is such a good show. I cannot, my mind is blown. I read something, I think it was on Instagram, that was like rude things that dog owners do. And one of them was allowing their dog to pee on buildings. And I was like, uh-oh, are we not allowed to, our dog's not supposed to be on buildings? My dog is like exclusively peeing on buildings. Is that fucked up?
This is new information to you.
Yeah. Is that rude?
Yeah, I think it's rude.
So a dog can't pee on the trees. They can't pee on the fucking flowers. Like, I feel like it's ruder to allow your dog to pee on flowers.
Who, so like somebody's flowers or like flowers
just any
in the
flowers? Like, you don't pee on the flowers, you know? It's just more sad than rude.
I don't know. Well, I mean, I guess it depends on the building. Like,
yeah.
If a dog was pissing on my house, I'd be like, can you have your fucking dog stop pissing on my fucking house, please?
Right. But if it's a house, presumably we're in a neighborhood, dog's just going to pee on the sidewalk.
But let's say, all right, like Williamsburg, where we are now in Brooklyn, is a big dog neighborhood.
Of course.
When I used to live here and go to the park and stuff, I would see people walking their dogs. And there are homes here.
Yeah. Row homes.
Would you let your dog piss on the side of like somebody's, like the foot of somebody's home like that? Like on the corner or something?
Well, the way you ask it, I feel like I should say no.
But
yeah.
Well, there you go. I mean, difference of opinion, I think.
Yeah, I'll say. Wait, that's not the sound effect I wanted. Come on. Oopsie poopsie. Yeah, I mean, it's a building. It's going to rain, so it's going to... But yeah, I didn't know that. And then on the comment section, like, I fucking hate when dog owners allow their dogs to pee on the buildings. I'm like... Oh no, I've been doing that this whole time. Like proudly, like, yeah, go over there and pee, Kevin. Because the trees, you can't, the bedding around the trees, if there's flowers, there's always signs that say curb your dog, which I used to think curbing something meant like curb stomping. I don't know why my brain does that, but it did. I'm like, curb your dog. And it used to make me so sad. I'm like, I know that's not what they meant, but now I'm thinking of someone kicking a dog. But I still don't know what curb your dog is. Like what? So he's got to pee on the curb? He's going to get hit by a car. Like, what does that mean?
I just think it means curb it away from
like curb your
my
enthusiasm
fucking plants right. And shit.
Curb your dog meaning. Your dog meaning. Wait, let me Google this. In the most general sense, curbing your pup means not urinating or defecating in a specific area. For example, right. You may come across hundreds of curbing signs on the sidewalks of New York City to prevent pet owners from letting their dog do their business in controlled areas. And the buildings don't say curb, but there's no sign on the building. So that's why if it's rude, you got to tell me. But they told me on Instagram and I was like, what? And then I went in the comment section expecting everybody to go, are you kidding me? Dogs can pee on buildings. And everyone's like, I fucking hate when dogs pee on buildings. I'm like, okay, we live and we learn and we're making mistakes, but we're getting better. There's also, speaking of Netflix, love Netflix. There's a show. There's a new nature show on Netflix. I didn't write down what it was called. Because I was just so taken aback by the opening scene. Cate Blanchett narrates it. Oh, God. I love a stoic British narrator for a nature show. Nothing better. It's great evening TV. But there is this opening scene that was a baby moose. Oh, my God. You guys, if you have not seen a baby moose, just fucking stop what you're doing right now and look it up. Baby moose, meese. They're so cute. They're so impossibly cute. So it was this opening scene and it was a baby moose and you could tell it was just born, you know, it was still wobbling and it was trying to figure shit out. And then it made you go, wow, mooses. Is it moose or meese?
I believe it's
mooses.
I think moose is the plural.
Really?
Yeah, I think
guys,
so.
English language, pick a rule and stick with it. Okay. So moose. When they're born, you're like, wow, you know, I had a tough childhood. These fucking animals just get dropped out of the vagina onto the dirt and they're expected to walk in 5 seconds. And they do. And I'm like, damn, maybe that's a little bit rougher of a childhood. But this baby moose was sucking on its mom's teat. It was so cute. And it was doing all these things for the first time. Like you watched it go to its mother's nipple. Like it was the first time it's ever done that. And it's like, oh, wow, you're watching like an instinct unfold. And no one's saying to that moose, hey, moose, this is how you do this. It just knows. And you're like, wow, nature's so beautiful and so powerful. And I was just so happy watching this baby moose. And it was late at night and I was about to go to bed. I'm like, this is perfect evening television, you know? And then a fucking eagle comes and Cate Blanchett goes, the moose knows that to be safe, it needs to stay between its mother's legs. And then it's just a shot of a bald eagle with like the wingspan of Shaq. And you're like, whoa, 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 whoa. Why the fuck's that bald eagle there? And I love bald eagles. But then it starts circling and the camera, the camera is being edited as if the bald eagle is about to fucking chomp on this baby moose. And I went from crying because this moose was so cute to crying out of anger, wanting to punch a bald eagle in the face. I'm like, if they fucking ruin my night and show a bald eagle murdering a baby moose, I'm going to sue Netflix. I'm not, but I'm going to want to. I'm going to have emotions that I don't know what to do with. And it's going to take a couple days for them to come down. It was awful. But the bald eagle didn't eat the moose. But wow, nature's brutal, huh?
Yep.
That is fucked up. We think humans are brutal. Bald eagles are fucking brutal. They'll eat a baby moose.
Dude, that's, nature is so brutal. There's no cute in nature.
There's some cute.
They're hungry. No, there's cute for us. But I'm saying, like, a bald eagle is a bad boy. Same thing with, like, killer whales.
He's a bad boy.
He's a bad boy, bald eagles.
Yeah.
Killer whales, same thing. They fuck up seals big time.
Uh-huh.
And we,
I've
like, love
that.
Going to see them. But they are, like, they are, like, menaces.
They're murderers.
Yeah.
They're absolute murderers. And, I mean, I don't want to live in a world where a fucking bald eagle will just peck a baby moose until it dies. But apparently that's the world we've been living in this whole time. And that's real fucked up. And that brings me to my next segment of Sage the World, guys. We're going to sage the world. I was going to do it later, but I have to do it now. We're not saging it. It's Palo Santo. Palo Santo. Because apparently if you sage, you have to have windows open so that the spirits get out. Okay, we're just going to sage the world. I'm going to spin the globe and we're going to land on a spot to put Palo Santo energy. We're just going to neutralize that energy. I'll close my eyes. Okay, we're spinning the globe. It's going to land here. Newfoundland. They probably don't need it, but we're going to sage them anyway. Newfoundland. Wow, it's got to be cold there in the winter. That's crazy. Yo, Greenland is icy and Iceland is green. Guys, are you trying to piss us off? Are you trying to confuse us? If I went on my fucking summer vacation to Greenland and then I get there and it's all snow, I'm going to be real pissed. But yeah, let's just sage the world. We are the world. We are baby moose murderers. Sure, that song was written by half of a pedophile, but he was also a good pop star, and that's confusing. Okay? It's really confusing. God, you got to watch Baby Reindeer. I can't stop thinking about that show. It's taken up a lot of my time. I was thinking about this. A lot of my friend was telling me who has immigrant parents, and he was like, yeah, man, immigrant parents, like they, I was talking about what Jennifer did docuseries last week. She had immigrant parents, and there was a whole section on that. It was a similar sentiment of like, they make you be an occupation. Like you can't be a fucking painter. You know, you don't really have that luxury. You have to be a lawyer or a doctor. And I was thinking about like, I don't want, the last person I want as a doctor is the kid who did it because his parents made him. I don't want that guy cutting me open. Okay. So here's a message to all you kids, all the kids that listen to the voices in our heads. You must be real fucked up if you're listening to this. But if your mom and dad try to tell you what to be with your life professionally and you don't want to be it, don't. Don't. Because then maybe you end up one day cutting someone open and you're like, what's the fucking point? And then you're just going to be lazy about it because you don't want to be there. Because rightfully so, you were forced into doing something you don't want to do. Guys, that never ends well. It never ends well. Okay. So less doctors who don't want to be there. Less doctors. I had an at-home ketamine infusion. Ketamine. I didn't talk about this last week, right?
No, you talked about the one you went
the first
to
one.
Jackson Heights.
Yeah. Which honestly, I probably end up just going to Jackson Heights for them. Because it's $200 more to have them at home. And I'm like, that, okay, these are already expensive, like fucking $700. I don't know, man. I ain't got that kind of money. It's all in my parents' house. So sorry, that was late. I got an at-home ketamine infusion because I wanted Kevin to be there and lay on me. He was laying on me the whole time. It was lovely. But as I was waiting for the nurse to come over, I was like, okay, I hope it's a girl. Her name was Bubble. It was a girl. And I was like, ooh, is it like Bubble? And she goes, no, it's just Bubble. I'm like, wow, your name's fucking Bubble? That's sick. She's like, yeah, she was really cool. Like cute, young chick, very spiritual. I lined my bed with crystals, but then I was like, I don't want this nurse to see. So I covered him with my blanket. And then she was like, so I'm really spiritual if you want to talk about setting intentions. And then I was like, oh, word. And then I picked my comforter up and I was like, me too, bitch. And she was like, hell yeah, crystals. But I was very glad it was a female nurse because you basically get roofied. I mean, you are incapacitated, okay? I mean,
That's a good point.
The infusion lasts for 45 minutes, but it takes about a good 45 minutes to get out of the K-hole. You are in a K-hole. Let's be very clear about that. It's very beneficial for your brain, as I'm currently experiencing the benefits inside my brain right now. But I was glad it was a lady nurse because, boy, could you touch someone inappropriately while they're in a K-hole. I mean, my God, you're out of it. And at the end of the infusion, she came in, she checks your blood pressure every 10 minutes, I think. And you have an eye mask on, you have headphones on, you're listening to music, and you're in another planet. I don't know where you go, but you go somewhere else. And it made me wonder, like, what is a ketamine infusion like when you open your eyes? It's got to be a totally different experience. But poof, I don't know. I kind of want to do it with my eyes open next time just to see. But you can't really move, so you got to pick one before the infusion hits, because once you have a position and the infusion hits, you're staying there. You're staying there for a really long time. And then at the end, she went to check the blood pressure. She took the blood pressure cuff off. And I was like, are we done yet? And she's like, yeah, we're all done. I'm like, okay. And then she's like, is there any special instructions I should know to lock up? Because I have to go to my next appointment. And I was like, you just go out, close the door. And she goes, huh? And I'm like, you just have to go. And you have to get it. She's like, all right, I'll figure it out. And I was like, okay, bye. And then as she was leaving, I'm like, God, I hope she's not a robber or a rapist. Oh, God. Yeah, so just be aware of that, I guess.
Yeah. Good thing to be aware of. So you slept immediately? Is it just like you're just like
you're out? Just so out of it. You're sleepy, you're tired, but you experience this like really pure form of joy that I only remember experiencing in childhood before shit run awry. You know what I'm saying? I had a good 6 years. And so you're so giddy but so tired. I don't know, man. I'm still putting into words how it feels. Like, you're so happy and still. It's fantastic. But yeah, it takes you a second to come out of it. And you want to be really gentle with yourself after. My one friend was saying that they have places where you go for 7 days and you get a ketamine infusion every single day. And there's therapists. It's super expensive. And the therapists work with you before you get the infusions about your goals. And then they do integration sessions after each infusion. I'm like, that sounds like something that's really potent. So if you're a billionaire, start a fund so that people who can't afford this shit can afford this shit and do something good in your life for once. Just kidding. You might be a good person. I was getting my fucking hair, my roots done yesterday. And at this place, that's super fancy. It's super fancy. It's in Manhattan. It's right across the street from Tiffany's, the jewelry store. And it's where fancy people go. And I went to get my hair done there ages ago when I had like money. I was like, fuck you, I'm never gonna run out of money. And then I tried to go other places that were much cheaper. I'm like, they just did a terrible job. So I'm like, all right, I gotta go back here. And so I went back, and the hairdresser is amazing. He's lovely. He's French. Can I just say, French people? Good for you. You're so cool. You're so beautiful. You're all fucking gorgeous. Like, and I think, you know, my version of like beautiful, obviously I know what like hot is, but I like weird looking people too. Like, you can be weird looking and like super fucking hot. I find that mostly with French people. Like, they nail that line. And he was super fashionable. Just, oh, I've always wanted to be a French lady. Just sometimes I envision myself, I'll fantasize, like I'll be out in Manhattan smoking a cigarette, and I'll be like, I'm going to pretend I'm a French person, you know, that I've lived in the city for 25 years and everything is just exactly how I planned it to be. And then a tour bus is going to drive by and some girl's going to be on it from like Milwaukee, and she's going to see me smoking my cigarette being all French, and she's going to go, I want to fucking move here. That's my fantasy. That's what I think about. But I love French people. He was French, and he was doing the roots of another client in the seat next to me. And then she was just so lovely. This woman was so sweet and kind, and her energy immediately, I was like, I love you. And she was beautiful, older lady, like late 50s, maybe 60s. I don't know. She was amazing. And she left and the hairdresser was like, that woman's a billionaire. And I was like, are you fucking serious? And I got so excited because I'm like, billionaires can be that nice? Yeah. Yes. When they're women, they can be. Not hashtag not all female billionaires. But yeah, that just made me so happy because I just have this impression of like billionaires as being huge pieces of trash because power corrupts. It's not really your fault. I mean, it is, but it's also the human condition's fault. You know, that was really cool. I want to be French. And now I know female billionaires can be nice. Guys, you know what time it is? It's time for some fuckboy theater. Fuck boys over the world, I Palo Santo you, so you stop being a piece of shit. Okay, what will it take? All right, so this is an Instagram DM. I don't know what the guy's name is. I don't know what the girl's name is, but you know what? It doesn't matter. This is, yeah, it's just a DM. So this is not a dating site. So this, you know, no one's DMs are open for flirtation unless the person is like, I'm single, what's up, you know? Says the woman who has absolutely DM'd men, being like, what's your deal?
You and me both, kid.
Hey, the shots that are not worth shooting are the ones you don't take. You know what I'm saying? Hey, did that make sense? Yeah. Oh, okay. Thanks for the support, Michael. All right. So this is a conversation between a guy and a girl. Are you ready for this? Do you drink a lot of Snapple? No. Because you seem to be made of the best stuff on Earth. Earth emoji, heart eye emoji. So do you think Snapple is the best stuff on Earth? I think you are made of the best stuff on Earth. Earth emoji, heart eye emoji, heart eye emoji. Ha ha. And scene. Thank you so much. Yes, thank you. I was very prepared for that. You know, I'm not hot enough to get invited on a yacht, but I also couldn't work in a prison without causing a stir. You know, I think it's important to know what level of hot you are, and we're all delusional about it, and kind of as we should be. But I wish I had that thing where I wish I had the confidence of like a fucking supermodel. And then without, I think that's so funny. Corinne has this bit. She's like, I have body dysmorphia where I think I'm a lot hotter than I actually am. And I'm like, that's so fucking funny. Can I have that? I want that. Because really the only thing that will make you like, you know, people think, if I'm hot, everything will be great. Maybe some people think that, I don't know. Young women might think that and they're kind of right, but not. But then really, if you think about it, it's all about having the attitude of someone super hot. And then it doesn't fucking matter. Like, who gives a shit what people think of you? If you convince yourself that you're like the hottest person, not that that looks don't matter. That's what's inside that matters. But that's really all it is. It's a little reframe. It's a fucking reframe. Gosh, I'm so unprepared for this episode because I was shooting How to Look Hot at IKEA before I got here. And I was flustered and my brain just isn't. I was going to prepare last night and then I just fucking watched Baby Reindeer and then I just sat in a corner and stared at a wall trying to take it all in. And I was like, I wanted to smoke a cigar. I don't smoke cigars, but I'm just like, I just want to go to the dock and smoke a cigar. It's a really intense book. And I could read from RJ Spina's Supercharged Self-Healing. And I did not put the latest chapter on the Patreon yet, guys, but I'm going to. But I'm kind of over reading this book on the podcast. There is a book that I'm going to read. Do you self-sabotage, Michael?
Sabotage?
Self-sabotage.
Do I it personally?
Yeah, do you experience it?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
I do.
This book, self-sabotage is one of those things, like it's one of my biggest Achilles heels. It's one of the things that I want to work on the most. And this book that I'm going to start on the podcast, is called The Mountain Is You. Somebody on my Patreon recommended it. And I was like, ooh, I always get book recommendations exactly when I need them. And so when somebody recommends me a book and I happen to see it, people recommend me stuff all the time. But if I happen to see it, I just take that as a sign of, eh, check it out. I downloaded this book. Fuck, dude. This woman's incredible. Brianna Wiest or Weist. I think it's Wiest. She's a young woman. I don't know how old she is, but I started looking up interviews with her on YouTube because I was like, who is this chick with all this fucking wisdom? And I expected to see like a woman with silver hair who's, you know, 63 in one of those like yoga vests, you know, but it's like a 28-year-old hot blonde lady. I'm like, okay. I love when people surprise me. And that surprised me. I was like, oh shit, this woman is not that old. I think she's younger than me. How does she have this much wisdom? And I was watching an interview with her on Hoda Kotb and Jenna Bush. Was it CBS morning show? Whatever. I think that's Gail.
Today
morning show. Yeah. And Hoda, who I think is so fucking funny. And Jenna Bush, by the way, she could be a stand-up comedian. I'm a huge fan of hers. I kind of have a girl crush on her. She's so fucking funny. And she's like ditzy, but very smart. I really love her. But Hoda was so excited about this author and about this book that she's like, I bought everybody on the crew the book. And then it like points to the camera guy with the headphones and he like holds up the book like, okay. And you know he's not gonna read it. But she was like, I've never heard anybody word things in this way. And I'm like, how did you get all this wisdom? You're so young. And then it cuts to her mom, who was like side stage, and the mom, like, as if she was gonna have an answer of like, was it you, mom? And the mom was literally like, honestly, no, she just knew it. And I was like, that's cool. Okay, Sage. Okay, Brianna. So I'm gonna read a book about self-sabotage starting next chapter. This is this book, The Supercharged Self-Healing, it's not heady, but it gets boring, especially to read out loud. The book You Are the Mountain, like, or The Mountain Is You rather, words things, and it like most of the sentences in that book, they hurt physically in my body because they're so true. It's really fucked up. I also wanted to address a woman DM'd me on Instagram and I was like, ooh, let me address this on a podcast just so in case other people feel the same way. Because if one person feels it, odds are many other people feel it. When I promote the Voices in Our Heads and my Patreon and I talk about, you know, whatever book I'm reading at that time, for a couple weeks it's been RJ Spina's Supercharged Self-Healing, and I give a quick little spiel of, you know, he was paralyzed from the chest down and diagnosed with sepsis and all these things, and he healed himself, and that's really cool. This one woman had reached out to me and she was like, my father died of sepsis and it was awful and brutal, and she was like, I'm so sorry. I totally got what she was saying. She's like, you're kind of parading this as like anybody can do it, you know? And I can imagine somebody with that experience has to hear me go, he had sepsis and he cured it, kind of in this tone of like, cure your sepsis, you lazy pieces of shit, you know? Sepsis is a pretty deadly diagnosis. And so I was like, oh my God, I really appreciated the tone with which her approach, her angle with which she wrote me this DM, because she's like, I'm trying to criticize you, which made me go, oh, I think I get too defensive on the show, because people wouldn't come at you with that unless you're a little defensive. So I'm like, noted. I've been doing ketamine infusions. I'm willing to look at parts of myself I wasn't willing to look at before. And she was just saying like, you know, it's I just want to let you know, like, sepsis is a devastating diagnosis and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I am so sorry. I can't, like, if that came across as me obnoxiously flaunting that this guy says sepsis is curable, that is not at all what I would like to imply. So I'm so sorry for your loss. Number two, very sorry if that's the way that it came off to you. And I was like, that's nice that two people, you know, I want to live in a world, and it's possible, where people can, like, if I get mad at something someone says to the point where I'm like, it's really bugging me, I feel like they're missing out on this perspective. If it's a podcast, I don't usually write into people, but I think that's because I have people write into me all the time that I just don't, maybe. I don't know why. Some people write in, some people are not writers in. Yeah. What was I? I just lost my thought. I'm so tired. Do you need help with anything, Michael? I'm usually so prepared, but this week I'm not.
What this has come to?
Yeah. Any questions? How's life going?
Life is going, you know, fabulously. I live in this studio at this point.
Wow. Your words and your tone really match up, huh?
It's just, listen, man, I'm in a place where, like, I'm trying to understand that complaining about anything right now is kind of silly. It's all very self.
Totally.
Any wounds that I have at this moment are absolutely self-inflicted, and they're not wounds. It's just kind of like
stress.
Yeah. And when you're starting a business off, you just need, and I didn't plan for this properly when I jumped into this, but
I know what the feeling,
but you need to plan for a couple of years of just, you know, your life just kind of sucks. There's just no way around it. Like, nothing is really that normal.
Your time isn't yours.
Yeah, your time isn't yours. You are in debt. You owe people money. You like, it's just the way it is, because you have to get back to even. You have to recover the. So it's like, I've been talking to my therapist about just like how good 2021 ended up being for me.
Mm. Why was it so good?
Because I was making so much money with iHeart and working with you guys. Like, but I had disposable income. I had so much extra time because I just had to worry about your stuff and like the gigs that I had. Whereas, like, you know, when you launch a network and you take all this stuff on, like, now you have to pay the rent of this place. You kind of have mouths to feed in a way.
Sure.
Where absolutely. It's like everybody's been very cool and patient about kind of the process of this and that it's going to take a while. And I'm really happy where everybody's shows are at right now and how we're growing and the direction that we're going.
Yeah.
But obviously you still want instant success and instant money. You want your bills paid immediately.
Yeah.
So, you know, I did this to myself. Can I really complain about the fact that it's going to probably take another year, if I'm lucky, to kind of like get back to even?
Yeah.
You know, can you really complain?
Yeah. I mean, it's the growing pains of a business, especially at the beginning. I mean, it's just it's an important period, the beginning of a business, because it is what you put in is what you get out.
Right.
You know? And so there's luck involved, but there's also like intent involved and putting thoughtful, you know, being thoughtful with your planning.
Yeah. And I think it just comes down to the fact that like I needed to do this. I was going to do this. This is how it is, man.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I think you get past it. It's funny. You were saying before about the money aspect where you're like, I'll have this money forever or whatever. Yeah. It's very easy to feel like once you are in a place, and I'm wondering if you like felt this way, once Guys We Fuck got to this like level where it was like officially really taken off, but you kind of don't, you think that like you're going to stay in that moment forever.
Terms
of like where your energy levels are at, where your, you know, financial status is at. Like I really thought, cause I had one good year of making a lot of money, that I was like, well, that's it.
All it takes.
Yeah, I'm in. Like, this is going to be the rest of my life. I just don't have to worry about it.
When I had $10,000 in my bank account for the first time, I was like, I'm a millionaire.
That's how I felt too. I swear to God. I was making lists of like, I'm going to buy this watch. I'm going to buy this.
Watches.
I got lucky that I didn't follow through and make any of the mistakes of like actually spending the money.
Wow, that's cool. I wonder what that's like.
Well, I don't think that yours was a mistake by like the circumstance. It wasn't a mistake. I mean, in theory, what you did is like kind of smart. You bought
an investment
in real estate.
Yeah,
and things just kind of
house I can't go into. But yeah. I mean, it's you park the money.
Right.
People, billionaires park their money in New York City real estate all the time.
Right.
I just got to get that money out of it before global warming hits and that beach doesn't exist no more. You know
right.
what I'm saying?
Right.
I can't sell a house if it's buried in sand.
It's in Jersey, right?
Jersey Shore.
Yeah. I wonder if Jersey, if they're going to, how they're going to do with global warming. New York City, we're clock's ticking.
Yeah. Shit's sinking. The weight of the buildings are too much.
Yeah.
No one thought of that before they built them.
Of course not. Why not? This is the thing. We are now dealing with all of the folly,
the repercussions
of the Industrial Revolution and like industrialism in the US. Now it's just like, all right, well, we lived it up. We built all this shit. We had a nice run of driving muscle cars
oh,
and
muscle
using
cars.
Plastic. And now you guys.
Oh, the plastic, the Tupperware. where the poly, yeah. Oh my God.
Frozen dinners.
Yeah. And, you know. That we're going to give you stomach cancer later. But this is the, I saw a graphic on Instagram from this guy I follow who's fucking brilliant, Professor. I don't think it was Professor Galloway. I think it was another guy like of that nature. But it was like for the
Galloway,
first,
Scott Galloway?
Scott Galloway. Yeah, it wasn't. I don't think it was him. It was probably somebody like him. But the graphic was just saying for the first time in history, kids at the age of 30, like adults at 30, are doing worse than their parents were doing at 30. Oh, was it?
I just saw him on Morning Joe talking about all that.
Oh, word.
And he had this whole thing where he was, yeah, he's a very smart guy. He's about to do the psychology podcast that you're.
We asked him to do. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
I think we have the ask out, and I think Scott's got like a relationship with him. But he's a very smart guy. He was on. Yeah, Morning Joe, I think, talking about this very thing.
Oh, cool.
That, like, young people really should be, they have every right to be upset. This is, we got the shit end of the stick with this whole thing.
Yeah, and you know? There should be an age limit to serve in Congress and the Senate.
Yep.
I asked Scott Galloway, DM'd him on Instagram when we were doing Masculinity Month. Men, a celebration. And I was like, hey, I explained it. I pitched it in a way that I was like, you know, we really want to look into like these facets of manhood that are awful for men, that like hold men back. And I was like, and he goes, hey, thanks for reaching out. Not my thing. And I was like,
ooh. So he actually said no.
He said not my thing.
No shit.
And I was like, oh, what the fuck's that mean, Scott?
I think he is a billionaire? He has a lot of money.
Are you serious?
I think he's very rich.
He's an NYU professor. What the fuck?
I thought I saw that he was.
Damn.
Yeah, business professional. He's a business guy. I don't know. I mean,
he's got a great nose. He's a hottie.
Yeah, he's handsome.
Really handsome. God, yeah. Older men. Jesus Christ. Why am I so attracted to them? It's uncomfortable. Each generation at 25 adjusted for inflation. Average pre-tax income, annual cost of public college, house price to income. Okay, so our grandparents' average income, $74,000. Annual cost of public college as percentage of income, 13%. House price to income, 3x. Parents' average income, $70,000. Annual cost of public college as percentage of income, 17%. House price to income, 4x their income. Kids... So people our age, I'm thinking, average pre-tax income, $56,000.
Yeah, I mean.
Annual cost of public college as percentage of income, 43%.
It's insane.
And then house price to income, 7x. Why? What, our society, you going to make our society crumble? Because then we're all going to get pissed at the same time and fucking... I don't know what we're going to do, but it's going to be bad. So hold on to your fucking AARP cards, Pops.
It's only going to get worse, too. I mean, people.
Yeah, man.
Oh, Christina, and I have to show you something that's going to freak you the fuck out.
Oh, my God. Show it to me. I need content because I didn't prepare for this episode.
I'll show it to you after we get off.
Oh, OK.
I'm sorry. I'm coughing so much. The allergies are
It
so
wouldn't
bad.
Be an episode if you weren't making noise. Honestly, when I was plugging the voice of my heads on Guys We Fucked, I'm like, and then Mikey Big Dick Don Coscarelli's on, and you know he's coughing or dropping shit every episode. It's kind of comforting. It's kind of comforting.
So Ronnie and I were looking, we were just like on YouTube the other day, and YouTube, my algorithm serves me a lot of old movie stuff.
Okay. Yeah. Yes, because you're 72.
Right. Yeah. Should come as a surprise to nobody. But I've watched a lot of essays on like filmmaking and all this stuff. Just, you know.
I love YouTube.
Yeah.
You can get nerdy on whatever you want on YouTube. Exactly. It's beautiful.
So there's all these like Cinema Binder and all these Criterion. Cool. All this shit on YouTube that I kind of like go to when I'm in the studio here, when I need like a spark or whatever.
Totally.
So I got served this video that was, it was X-Men.
Okay.
Panavision 70, which is like a type of film and a type of camera. And the look, it's basically what they used in the 50s.
Okay.
To shoot like Lawrence of Arabia in the early 60s and stuff like that. So the film stock has a certain texture and the Panavision lenses. It's like a very specific look that is... in modern times, extremely hard to replicate just because you're not using that. Everything's digital now.
Right.
So I clicked this thing and I'm like, did somebody make this or did somebody like, is this somehow some sort of old footage that somebody's found? Because the thumbnail is this like really great picture of a guy playing Wolverine. It's like a close up, chin up kind of close up. Mm-hmm. And it looks really good. And I click it. And not only is it not from the 50s, it wasn't recreated by anybody either. It's just AI. So somebody made this trailer, like a 2-minute trailer of this X-Men movie that doesn't exist. And it looks better than anything.
No.
Yes. And granted, there's still some things now. There are whole channels that do this.
So I was looking after Baby Reindeer.
Yeah.
I was like, Colin and I were like, we got to look up interviews with the creator. We just wanted more. And we came across a video that was like, here's what really happened to the creator of Baby Reindeer, blah, blah, blah. And it was AI. The narration was not only AI, but the words were AI. Because it was like when you buy a product off Amazon that was very clearly made in China, but like the type of product that was made in China where the descriptions are like, plug in Wahaha. Like, you're like, what? I'm sorry, what?
Yeah.
And like all the English is completely wrong. That's how this was. And I was like, I started getting like irritated. I'm like, Colin, I don't like this video. Colin, I don't like, turn it off. I don't like it. Yeah. And it was just so creepy and eerie. But I will say the slideshow was like really well done over the slideshow, like playing while the narration was happening. Yeah. The narration was terribly written. But the video had like 200,000 views. And I'm like, what the fuck? So somebody just said, make a summary of Baby Reindeer, the show. And it just did it. What program is this?
There's all sorts of AI on YouTube, too, where there are like playlists that are not. I've clicked it. Like now I won't do it because I know what it is. But there's like AI jazz, like sitting in a cozy cafe. And it's not real music. It's just music that like you type into AI and it'll say like make cozy jazz music. And it'll just make it.
Whoa.
And it's like passive ink. No, it sounds like jazz music. Oh. It's not actually musicians didn't make it.
Because the thing, you know? Yeah, and a lot of like Colin has a lot of friends and he does this. We'll make like jingles and songs. Like,
yeah, it's
they
nothing
call,
like
they're
that.
Called syncs.
Right.
But like now that's going to be totally taken over by AI.
100%.
Without question.
Yes.
Because when they do, when AI does, I've had a little bit of comfort in the fact that AI can't, I mean, yet, unfortunately.
This was my whole point.
They can't write a joke. They're not funny. But First of all, they're too fucking sensitive. Like, they're like, I won't write a roast joke. That's not nice. I'm like, oh, you fucking pussy.
But the whole thing is that this is, so my whole point going back to this like fake X-Men trailer is, this is like year one of this being a problem. And there's definitely still some issues. Like it doesn't, AI video stuff doesn't take, it doesn't do like motion in the frame well. So let's say you're going like point A to point B, your head will kind of, it'll like stretch the head.
Because
it doesn't really, it can't.
That's what freaks me out. Like it almost irritates me watching AI stuff because it's something is just a little bit off.
It's a little
off, don't fucking know. A lot of times I don't know what it is, but I'm like, ugh, the feeling in my chest is murder.
But just imagine what this is going to be like in a decade where you're looking. I've sent it to my mom. There was a Batman one that I sent to my mom. And my mom was like, I've never seen that before. Who played Batman? I was like, it's mom. This is fake. These people don't exist.
Dude,
these are fake.
You know
people.
What? AI, I mean, I think they're already doing robocalls, but like, I feel so, but like elderly, first of all, elderly humans in the world, they just get thrown in the trash by society. And
I think
that's really fucked up. And so I think if you live near an old folks home, like volunteer your time there and like hang out with them. But so many stories about older people, and this has been happening for a while. My ex-boyfriend, I think it happened to like his grandma or his aunt. Where they would just go, oh, you didn't pay this bill or something. And they're like, oh, do you need my credit card?
Yes.
And they're like, yes, we do.
There's
like, okay, 4-7. I'm like, no.
Yeah.
But the AI thing is doing robocalls now. They can mimic someone's voice. What if they're calling saying, your son was in a car accident or something fucked up like that?
But this is
and
the
you
thing.
Won't know who did it.
So like now we're getting into a play. I had this after I sent my mom that X-Men, the Batman thing. I was like, this all ties back to what you were saying about Scott Galloway and like that whole his whole like young people should be upset.
Yeah,
it's we're fucked. But these creative jobs now, which is like where a lot of people kind of like drifted to being able to go to college. There's a lot of people that were just like, all right, I want to try. And content creation is a big thing. Now there's so many people that understand how to video edit and blah, and do this and do that. Those jobs, I think everybody thought forever were going to be safe. At this point, I don't think there is any job that is safe. I'm at this point where
the only job that's safe. Well, there's two. It's live performers.
But stand-up I don't comedy, know.
You cannot. People crave. And I knew this was after the pandemic. When the pandemic was happening, I'm like, stand-up's going to come back better than it ever has been. And it was already pretty fucking good in New York City because people are craving like high stakes, sense of urgency. And you can only get that with a live performance.
But I think that is like, I think that the issue is going to be, you have generations that are going to be raised now on the convenience
bad art.
Well, totally. I mean, think about how much bad art gets made and
that's like worse
enjoyed
than global
now.
Warming in a way. Oh. Well, it's corrupting people's souls. They don't know what good art is. What a terrible world that would be.
Listen,
this is the doomsday episode, guys.
I think we're moving. This is my opinion. I think we're moving to a place where people are just going to be very numbed out by this whole thing. And I think that the AI or whatever, like, I think once AI gets to a place where it's just like, they can actually, you can type a fucking movie into ChatGPT and it just, we might be like a decade away from that.
Yeah.
But and it will happen in our lifetime.
Yeah, for sure. You because know? The amount, when I was, I think I have a flashback of getting the AOL disc in the mail,
yep.
Getting so excited for 50 free hours.
Yeah.
What? Putting it in and going beep, boop, beep, boop, beep. Hey, mister, I'm 18, yeah. You know, and now
lying to men.
Yeah, that's all I did. And now the amount that technology has evolved in my lifetime is so freakish.
Yeah,
it's so freakish. And I thank God to be a millennial because I went through middle school and high school without social media. And if you're a person, if you're a young person, listen to this again, your life's probably a little fucked up. Sorry about that. But, you know, it happens. I feel for you so hard. I feel for you so hard. And that's why I told my nephew, I'm like, I know you don't care about this now, but one day all your friends are going to be on Instagram or TikTok or Snapchat or Facebook. I just fucking spent an hour listing all the platforms. And he was like, I'm like, I know you're not going to be interested in that, but you're going to want to do it. And that's why I said, if you get through high school without social media, I will buy you we will go anywhere in the world, anywhere you want, because... And then he'll be so much farther ahead emotionally. You know what I mean? I think. That's my hypothesis. What the fuck do I know, right? I thought, no, this is Patrick, was just some fucking guy who got a wrong call. But but I, you know, you can't blame it on, it's these things of like, you know, smoking cigarettes. It's, you know, or like all the food that's available. Like if you look at a neighborhood or any area that's like historically a low income area and you look at the food and it's all fast food because that's the food that's affordable. That's fucking disgusting. It is disgusting. And it makes me really sad. There is, and I want to, I'll end with this. There is one account I follow that incorporates AI in a way that I think is absolutely incredible. I'm like, this actually makes me really happy. I'm sure there are negative implications and repercussions to this being so good, but there's an Instagram account called Obscurist Vinyl. Okay. And I followed it for a really long time. It's just like a graphic designer makes these fake album covers, these vinyl covers. And so they're always so funny. So examples are Sorry There's No Pussy Left, Quit Jizzing in the Hot Tub. But now the AI is here. They use AI to make the actual song. So like, here's the Sorry There's No Pussy Left. Fucking funny. Sorry, there's no pussy left. I fucking did them all. And then this one, Quit Jizzing in the Hot Tub. You gotta quit jizzing in the hot tub. You're making the water all fucking gross. And now the lyrics were probably uploaded through, like the lyrics probably typed in manually, like make a rock and roll song. These are the lyrics.
Yeah.
Because that's, AI is just not funny yet. And it's not clever. But man, the day AI gets clever, that's the day I want aliens to abduct me.
Might be like 5 months from now.
Okay, aliens, get ready. 5 months, baby.
You know?
We're going to go. See this planet? I want off of it, okay? I'm not going to kill myself, but I want you to abduct me. Okay? But you got to take Kevin too and all my friends and everyone I love. Okay. Wow, guys, this has been a great time. You know what? I actually kind of like coming unprepared because then you just fly by the seat of your pants and you get to talk about stuff with Mikey.
I think that ended up being pretty fun.
Yeah. Shit. Maybe my problem was preparing.
Yeah.
Fuck. I just want to control everything, you guys. Sign up for my Patreon, patreon.com/Christina Hutchinson, where I do group Zoom therapy 4 times a month, once a week. This month, there's 5 weeks, so I'm only doing it 4 times. But we do it for an hour, and it's a really beautiful space where you could just say whatever the hell you want to say. And there's a $5 level called Just Here to Listen, where you can listen to all these group therapies so you can binge. I know we're in a binging culture, and you love to binge. So you can binge on that if you want. It's just $5 a month. Or if you want to participate, I think it's $22 a month. Yeah, I'm really proud of it, and it's a good space. And it's one of the few places where you can leave the space, the Zoom, and you feel a little bit better about yourself and about the world. So thank you so much for being here. Congratulations on not killing yourself. And I'll talk to you next Monday.